The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Welcome to the 49ers Insider Podcast on NBCSportsBayArea.com. Introducing your host, San Francisco 49ers Insider, Matt Mayoko.
This is the 49ers Insider Podcast brought to you by Big O Tires. And the 49ers and Seattle Seahawks had an epic game Monday night that the Seattle Seahawks eventually won 27-24. I'm here with Laura Britt at Levi's Stadium. And Laura, that one was a roller coaster.
Yeah, you say eventually because this game goes into overtime and just a lot of opportunities on both sides of the ball for both teams. But Seattle ends up winning that game 27-24. And the 49ers really gave Russell Wilson too much time at the end of the game. You cannot leave time like that on the clock when you have a quarterback like Russell Wilson. He has the 21-yard scramble, gets out of a situation, and that's what sealed the deal for the football game. It ends up being the game that we expected it to be, but it did not start that way.
Well, it was a really a crazy game because when the game started through one quarter, I thought 49ers are going to blow them out. And then at the beginning of the fourth quarter, I thought, well, the Seattle Seahawks are going to blow the 49ers out. And then Jason Myers kicks the go-ahead field goal with a minute 45 left. And then Chase McLaughlin.
Wait, who?
Exactly. Chase McLaughlin signed on Thursday because Robbie Gould had a quad strain. He ends up kicking field goals of 43, 39, and 47 yards to send that thing to overtime. Has a chance to win it, and
He nailed a 47-yarder to send it to overtime. Yes, he misses another 47-yarder in overtime, but I'm giving this guy major props. You say you can't do that in a loss. I don't care. I'm giving the guy major props.
Well, the 49ers are now 8-1. They were the last unbeaten team in the NFL. I thought they would still be the last unbeaten team because there was a point in overtime where I thought this was going to end in a 24-24 tie. And I think, you know, the 49ers probably should have gotten the tie out of this because they took over their final possession of overtime with 1:50 remaining. And it was a 25-second possession that they had. And I think when you take over, now granted, they took over at their own 20, but I just don't know that you can go a quick three and out like they did and still give Russell Wilson time to beat you. And that's exactly what he did. That's what you would expect him to do. So I don't know. What's your takeaway from this one?
Well, it's like I just said, you can't give him that opportunity. And Russell Wilson showed his experience. He got his receivers to the outside, and they jumped out of bounds, just like you're supposed to do. Keep time on the clock for your offense. And the Niners were not able to do that. Jimmy Garoppolo was not able to do that. You would think they would try and run the ball, even though they were unsuccessful in that throughout the entire game. The Seahawks hold the Niners to 87 yards rushing in Monday night's game. So it was definitely not working, but you've got to do something to keep running the clock down and at least get the tie. I mean, nobody loves a tie in sports, but a tie is better than a loss in this situation, especially with the implications of the NFC West on the line.
To me, the worst part about this game wasn't the loss. The worst part, I think, for the 49ers was how this game really beat them up. I mean, they had a lot of injuries, and they started this day with George Kittle missing the game due to ankle and knee injuries. Then once the game started, you had, and also I should mention, Quan Alexander is out for the season from that game last week against Arizona. But once the game started, Emmanuel Sanders has a rib injury, status unclear, but he did not come back in the second half, which tells you there's some damage there to that ribs. And DJ Jones has a groin injury that could keep him out for a little while. But the one that I think is the most concerning is Ronald Blair. You know, Ronald Blair has done a really good job as the 49ers' third edge rusher, coming in there to give Nick Bosa a spell here and there and to give D Ford a breather. Ronald Blair made a really good play late in this ball game, tracking down Russell Wilson, but you could tell that something was really wrong with that right knee. And afterward in the locker room, I talked to him and you could tell he was pretty downcast, big brace on his knee, crutches, he'll get an MRI, but a lot of his teammates were coming up and giving him a hug and you could tell that it's not good.
When you look back at the 2018 season, injuries overtook that season. And that one ended a lot differently than this season's going to end already, just because the 49ers have won 8 games. But injuries have been a huge storyline again this season. And there was promise leading into Monday night's game because the 49ers got back Mike McGlinchey. They got back Joe Staley. They get back Kyle Juszczyk. But then you don't have George Kittle going. Dre Greenlaw steps up in place of Quan Alexander. That's a positive note. But then you have DJ Jones go out tonight. You have so many injuries, and it's just how many injuries can one team take? Now, I do want to spin it on a positive note. The rookies stepped up tonight in this football game. Dre Greenlaw picked off Russell Wilson. That's only been done one other time this season, once. Russell Wilson has thrown 2 interceptions on the season, and one of those was because of Dre Greenlaw in overtime.
You know, after this game, I talked to 5 of the guys in the locker room, had some one-on-ones with them. You mentioned 2 of the guys that I talked to, in Quan Alexander, who is now, he's an emotional leader still, even though he's not able to play again this year. He has the torn pectoral. He's out for the year. But I caught up with him after the game to talk about what he saw from the guys out here and kind of what he sees his role being going forward and what his impressions were of Dre Greenlaw making the start in place of Quan Alexander. So here's Quan Alexander. What did your guys show you out there today?
They fight to the end, man. Those guys, they work hard every day. They're going to keep grinding to the clock is 0-0, and that was those guys did. You know, obviously we didn't win, but we played hard, and we got things to build off of, man. Mistakes to fix, and we can fix those.
What'd you think of the young guy, Dre Greenlaw, stepping in?
Yeah, for sure. I knew Greenlaw was going to step in. I never had no doubt about him. I seen it in his face when he first walked in the door. And he been a tremendous rookie, doing everything right, working hard. This week he put a lot of extra film in this week, and all paid off. He got an interception. And I'm proud of him, happy for him, man. He's just a great young man.
What role do you serve with this team now? Are you still kind of the hype man and get guys fired up?
Yeah, I'm always be me, bro. I can't change myself. Every time I'm around, I just try to bring positive energy. Every time, even if I come in for rehab and just had to go to practice for a little bit, I go out there and just show my face, just try to get them up, get the energy going, and they always respond to it well, so they'll be all right.
Yeah, there's so many injuries on this team, especially tonight, with Ronald Blair being injured and Emmanuel Sanders. How does a team just keep going through all those injuries?
Next man up, man. That's what I was always told since I got in the league, next man up. And we got guys capable of making big plays on this team. Have you already seen when our starters went down, we had backups that come in and play tremendously. So I have faith in all our guys, and we're going to go out there and make big plays when they get a chance.
Quan, when do you expect to be back out there for the offseason program?
I wish I could come back sooner. I'm going to try. I'm just working hard every day, and I'm getting better every day, getting strength. So we're going to see. We're going to see what God's plan is.
Yes, sir.
Okay, good luck to you.
Appreciate it, man.
Okay, so that was Quan Alexander, and as you mentioned, Laura, Dre Greenlaw stepped in, and did you think he was going to take that one to the house in overtime?
I won't put anything past this team, that's for sure, but I just was really impressed with Dre Greenlaw, was really impressed with Deebo Samuel to be rookies, and a lot of rookies have had to step up on this Niner squad with all the injuries that have happened to them so far in 2019, and those were 2 guys. Even in this loss, that's something that you can walk away from this game tonight as a Niners fan, if you're listening, and say they drafted well in 2019.
Yeah, so Dre Greenlaw making that start for Quan Alexander ended up with 8 tackles, and he had that really good interception when it looked like the Seahawks were going to march down the field at the beginning of overtime and win that game. But he dropped into coverage, and he picked off that pass intended for Jacob Hollister. And as we referred to, darn near took it to the house, and he's a 47-yard interception return. I caught up with Dre Greenlaw after the game, and he also mentioned something that I found interesting. After the game in the locker room, Richard Sherman stepped up and said, hey, let's turn this into a positive, you know, that this loss can help fuel us and get us to where we need to go, because this is a team where everything has gone right basically on the field, winning 8 games to open the season. And Richard Sherman, being the team leader that he is, said this might be exactly what the 49ers needed. So here's Dre Greenlaw after the game on Monday night. How comfortable were you stepping in there, and did you feel like, you know, were the big shoes to fill playing for in Quan's spot?
No doubt.
How did you think you played?
Well, I mean, I made some mistakes, but I made some plays. But, you know, at the same time, I felt confident. You know, the team had my back, and I knew Fred was going to play his heart out, and I knew he had my back, and I knew he was going to give me the call. And, you know, just having Quan out there beside us on every play, on the sideline, he just brought us confidence. And, I felt good out there, and it felt good running around, man. I just wish we would have came up with the W.
Do you feel like, were they trying to go after you a little bit? Did you ever get that sense?
No, I mean, I felt like, you know, a couple of times they tested me to see if I was going to react or step up. And, you know, I felt fine, going out there doing my job. It was, like I said, it was a couple of plays that, you know, I know I could have made and could have done better at. But it's something, you know, to build off of and grow off of and, you know, just going to get better.
You made the big play in overtime, the interception. Did you think you were going to take it to the house?
I did for a minute. And then, the offensive lineman did a good job of playing inside and moving outside. But, I just wanted to make sure that, you know, I could give my offense the ball at the end of the play. So I got what I can get. And then, you know, you wanted to let them do the rest. And, yeah, that's what it was about.
What do you kind of feel about where this team is right now? You guys had your first loss of the season, but, what's kind of the mood in this locker room right now?
Just like Sherm said, it's just what we needed, you know.
He said that to the team?
Oh, yeah. You know, in this league, you never go undefeated, but at the same time, it's a awakening call, and it lets you know that, you know, you can be beaten any night, and, you know, you got to bring your A game every time. So I think from here on out, you know, I think a lot of guys are going to, you know, bring forth their best foot and, just play and execute and finish out the season strong.
All right, Drake. Thank you.
Thank you.
So without Quan Alexander and some injuries that happened on Monday night, some guys really stepped up, and it wasn't necessarily the guys you would expect. Dre Greenlaw had a good game. Kaywan Williams was really good as the 49ers nickelback. Kaywan Williams had a half sack. He forced 2 fumbles. But the guy that was really impressive was Fred Warner. Fred Warner led the team in tackles with 10. He had 2 sacks. He had a pass defense, forced a fumble. Man, he had a really good game.
What did he not do? This was his best game as a 49er. And I think it shows that he wants to be a leader on this team. He's a second-year player in the NFL. And when you get this many injuries, you need guys like him to step up and be a leader, not only on the sideline, but more importantly, on the field, because you got leaders on the sideline with their injuries and Quan Alexander and people like that. So you need team leaders that are out on the field making big plays. And on Monday night, Fred Warner played on a different level than he's played so far as a 49er.
Yes, he did. And I think a lot of that has to do with kind of that mindset that Quan Alexander helped instill in him. I think Fred was kind of a quiet guy as a rookie. He didn't really assert himself too much, but now I think he has the confidence to do the kinds of things he did on Monday night. And I caught up with Fred Warner after the game, and we talked about this game and where the 49ers go from here. You guys haven't experienced this very much this year, a losing locker room. Just what's the feeling in here?
It's guys are down. Obviously, you know, it's a tough loss, especially going down to the wire like that. It sucks, but just got to move on, get better from it.
How do you think you guys have compensated for the losses of some of these guys? Obviously, Quan Alexander isn't in there, but Dre stepped up. Mm-hmm. But especially on the offensive side, it looked like those injuries have kind of taken some toll.
Yeah. In this league, injuries are 100%. You know, it's bound to happen. So guys just got to step up. Dre did an outstanding job today. Always got to look yourself in the mirror and ask how you could have, you know, helped a little more.
You had yourself a heck of a game, getting in there, a lot of action, some sacks. Was that kind of the game plan? Did you know there'd be some things open for you in this game?
I mean, every game I'm hoping I can make a difference. I think they just weren't accounting for me, honestly. I mean, we have such an outstanding D-line who gets after it every single day, every game. So I just had my opportunities. I made them.
What was the difference in playing with Dre Greenlaw as opposed to Quan?
I mean, he honestly stepped in and did a great job. I can't say anything bad. You know, Quan is a seasoned vet. But with Dre, I think he came out there and he played as such. You know, he was communicated great, got aligned. I'm proud of him.
What do you guys have to do now to get back on that winning track after this loss?
Just learn from our mistakes. Look yourself in the mirror, see what you could have done better, and keep moving.
You guys, it almost felt like you guys left that door open for Russell, and whenever you do that, he's one of the best, isn't he?
Yeah, he outstanding quarterback. You know, his ability to extend plays. You know, we knew that going into the game, and it came down to it as he made enough plays.
And now this word from Big O Tires.
Now through November 4th at participating Big O Tires, save $70 instantly on sets of four Continental, Goodyear, Pirelli, Yokohama, or Toyo tires with paid installation. Plus, use your Big O credit card for additional rebates on qualifying purchases. See store for details. Big O Tires, the team you trust.
We're back on the 49ers Insider Podcast. And the defense played pretty well. The 49ers, you know, they made the Seattle Seahawks really earn every yard they got. The run defense was okay. Chris Carson did not have the kind of room to run that he had for most of the season, so he didn't really hurt them at all with an average of 3.6 yards per carry. But Russell Wilson scrambling was key, especially in overtime when he set up the winning field goal. But over on the offensive side for the 49ers, Laura, it was a struggle.
It was a struggle for the 49ers on offense. This was a 180 from the Halloween night game that we saw, where Jimmy Garoppolo showed flashes of greatness, throws four touchdowns to four different receivers, and you think that the offense is really clicking. But a big part of that is George Kittle is not in this game. George Kittle is far and away Jimmy Garoppolo's favorite target, especially on third downs. And then Emmanuel Sanders, his second favorite target, his newest target, gets knocked out of the Monday Night Football game against the Seattle Seahawks. So you have Deebo Samuel leading the 49ers in receptions with 8 for 112 yards, no touchdowns for him, and then Kendrick Bourne, 4 receptions for 42 yards and a touchdown. You've got a rookie leading the receivers for the 49ers with Emmanuel Sanders and George Kittle out. So that's the big difference in the offensive game to me. The Niners get Kyle Juszczyk back on Monday. I thought he would be able to help the Niners be more productive on offense, but clearly George Kittle is as good as advertised, and you saw that flesh itself out tonight in the 49ers offense.
And the 49ers did make a move Monday, activating Garrett Celek because they knew they weren't going to have George Kittle. So Garrett Celek, veteran, starting his 9th NFL season, was out there on Monday night, but he really wasn't much of a factor. He didn't catch any passes, didn't have any thrown his way, but he's kind of working his way back into the mix. And I caught up with Garrett Celek after this game. So how did it feel to get out there after such a long layoff?
It was really awesome to be out there. I was a little rusty, you know, so I got a lot to clean up this week, to be expected. But overall, for having really 1 week of practice, I thought I did okay, but I definitely have a lot to improve on.
Where did you see the rest?
Just on my fits, a lot of just technique type of stuff, mentally, and I really didn't make mistakes. It was just technique type of things.
When did you find out that you're going to be in uniform for tonight's game?
They told me last night. Yeah.
Were you surprised?
I knew kind of just the way practice was kind of going that I figured, you know, I would be up, but I got the thumbs up last night.
When you guys had the injuries that you've had, George didn't suit up for the game and Emmanuel Sanders left in the first quarter, what does that do to the offense? Is it tough to find that rhythm without two of your really big playmakers?
I mean, they're very important to our offense, but we also have a lot of other guys that can step up and get the job done. I thought, you know, a lot of guys played their heart out tonight. You know, we made mistakes here and there, turned the ball over a couple times. I mean, once we clean up some stuff, I think we'll be fine.
Yeah, what do you think the kind of the message of coming out of this game is? Your first loss of the season. This first time there's been a, you know, kind of a downcast locker room like this. How can this team bounce back? What needs to happen?
Yeah, I mean, I think the guys on this team, mentality-wise, we all have a really good mentality. Just coach talking to us after the game, he was real proud of the way we played. I don't think guys are going to be down on themselves. I think we're going to come back this week and really get after it in practice and really prepare. Yeah.
I mean, you've been in this league a long time. You know how tough it is to win games.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to be 9-0. I mean, to win as many games as we have with no losses, it's a big deal. And it's hard. I mean, obviously, you know, we tried getting it done tonight and we didn't quite get it done. But we'll learn. We'll learn from this film and we'll get better.
And the good news is you're feeling good.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I'm a little sore just because I haven't hit like that in a while. But I'll bounce back.
All right, Garrett. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
So we talked about how the 49ers offense as a whole struggled. You know, Matt Breida did not look like he was running very well, and he went out of the game with an ankle injury. Tevin Coleman had a pretty good game, but, man, the passing game just really looked rough. And Jimmy Garoppolo was under a lot of pressure. He was sacked 5 times for 33 yards. Joe Staley and Mike McGlinchey returned to the lineup, and, boy, Laura, I think they looked really rusty. Jadeveon Clowney had a monster day and really applied the pressure time and time again. He had only one sack. I say only one sack, but he had 5 quarterback hits. He just seemed like he was in Garoppolo's face all night long.
Jadeveon Clowney single-handedly won this game for the Seattle Seahawks. The 49ers could not handle Clowney. He was coming at Garoppolo each and every way, and Garoppolo was under a lot of pressure, and you could tell in the decisions that he was making that he was feeling that pressure. And I cannot say enough about Jadeveon Clowney. Just seeing it in person Monday night at Levi's Stadium, he was incredible and really put the pressure on the Niners offense like no other team has done in 2019.
Yes, he was a wrecking ball, and Garoppolo did not look good. You know, he threw for 248 yards, 1 touchdown and 1 interception, but I swear he could have had 4 or 5 interceptions because he gave the Seattle Seahawks some opportunities to make plays, and the wide receivers certainly did not help Garoppolo either.
Jimmy G didn't look great tonight, but to his credit, he threw some balls, a lot of balls, that should have been caught and really could have made a difference. So I think that while Jimmy G has plenty of room for improvement, he was making some good throws and the receivers weren't able to hold on to the ball.
Yeah, Marquise Goodwin had a drop early in the game. He was only targeted 3 times, and he did not see much action. Dante Pettis was targeted 3 times. Goodwin and Pettis were targeted 3 times, and neither one of them had a catch. Kendrick Bourne had 4 catches for 42 yards and a touchdown. He also had a reception for a 2-point conversion, but he had some drops too. And I spoke with Kendrick Bourne about the drops, what happened, and kind of where the team goes from here. So here's Kendrick Bourne. What's the most difficult part about this one?
I think just the feeling of how it was going to be last time we were in here. And then, you know what I'm saying, not going that way, I guess, to be honest. I mean, I had a couple drops that I know I can catch. And just, I don't know, that mostly, yeah, those two.
I mean, you guys were without George Kittle, mm-hmm. without Emmanuel Sanders for most of the game. How do you think you guys responded?
I think we responded well. I think to every situation, I think we responded really good. Even in like the 2-minute situations, we started terrible and then started to click in the last few downs. So kudos to all the guys just fighting hard, man. That was a tough fought game, but kudos to them too. They played really well, man. I feel like they came ready with their hard hat, so. Give a lot of respect to those guys. But for us, man, I think we, just like the adversity we've seen throughout the year, you know what I'm saying, that was one of the toughest, most adverse games we've seen. But I think how we responded to each situation, even the defense, how they got that touchdown and all that, you know what I'm saying, Greenlaw on the last play, just the momentum shifts, man, that we kept getting with the momentum being bad already, it was pretty impressive by us.
Kendrick, since training camp, Kyle Shanahan has talked a lot about how, you know, your hands are, you know, you're doing such a good job. Yeah. What do you think happened today?
I think just worrying about making the move before, you know what I'm saying? As I always say, I kind of get a little jittery, anxious, and I tend to, you know what I'm saying, try to run before the catch. I felt like on the second one, the third down, I kind of was worried about making my move. I was going to go under Bobby Wagner, you know what I'm saying, as a wide open pass. And I was just felt like I was too relaxed on the ball rather than looking it in, making the catch, and then making the play. But just more focus, more hand-eye coordination, you know what I'm saying, when the ball's coming.
We've seen a lot of very happy locker rooms this season. What's it like in here?
We straight, I think, man. I'm still proud of everybody in here. No doubt in nobody in here. It's a one loss. So, you know what I'm saying, we could just take it head on. We kind of needed it. I mean, you could say. So, you know what I'm saying, Kyle was saying, like, the league don't work like that. I mean, we've seen the Patriots go undefeated to the Super Bowl, and that result was not so good. So, I mean, it really doesn't matter. I mean, it does matter, but as where we're standing right now, it doesn't matter. So we just got to refocus, man, and show Arizona that we're not about to play that like we did last game against them. So I'm excited about that.
The big takeaway is the defense played well enough to win. Offense, I don't think, played well enough to win. And the 49ers now are 8-1, and they've kind of come back to the pack. Not only in the NFC West with Seattle closing that gap, I think in a lot of ways Seattle now has the upper hand when it comes to the division because they've beaten the 49ers here at Levi's Stadium, and they are the ones that made it through the NFC West first round of action unbeaten, and they still have that Week 17 game looming against the 49ers up in Seattle.
Yeah, that'll be a tough matchup for sure, but the 49ers have a long road before they get there. This is a three-game homestand, so they had the Seahawks on Monday night. In Week 11, it's the Cardinals at Levi's Stadium, and then the Packers, and then after that, it's the Ravens and the Saints. So this schedule that we've talked about a lot on the 49ers Insider podcast so far this season, it does get a lot more difficult from here on out, and it did all start tonight with the Seahawks. Another positive note for Niners fans is they stayed in this game. I mean, it was an overtime game. Even with how poorly the offense was playing, they were still in this game until the very end and had an opportunity to really end it in a tie. So there are some positives to take away. You know, the 49ers and their post-game pressers were all talking about the opportunity to go look at film, get better and improve. And just like they only sit on a win for 24 hours, they also only sit on a loss for 24 hours. Kyle Shanahan preaches that, and the players preached that in their post-game pressers on Monday.
So, yeah, now they're back to work. They face the Arizona Cardinals on Sunday, so kind of a quick turnaround to face the Cardinals, a team that they just beat in Week 9 by a score of 28-25. So that was a tough win just in the desert here not too long ago. And we'll see if the 49ers get George Kittle back. But from my standpoint, when I look at this team, you know, they were able to overcome a lot of injuries, a lot of key guys being out of the lineup, including both offensive tackles, for several weeks. But I don't know, missing George Kittle was a whole different beast because he brings so much to the table. And, I mean, he is their best offensive player. I think he's the best player on the team. But also the attitude, you know, not having him on the sideline, I think, was a key for the 49ers. We'll see where this team goes from here. But, I mean, it's pretty clear that, as if anybody didn't know, the 49ers are beatable. The rest of the NFL knows they're beatable now. The Seattle Seahawks certainly know they're beatable. Seattle Seahawks have some, you know, they smell a little blood in the water when it comes to the NFC West. And if the 49ers thought that they were just going to roll through this conference, or the division anyway, Seattle Seahawks served them notice on Monday. It's not going to be that easy.
Yeah, it's a learning moment for the 49ers players. And the rookies didn't have to go through those years of losing records. I mean, you don't have to go far back. Last season, 2018, this was a completely different football team. So I don't think that this team in that locker room gets too prideful or too confident in the sense that they don't remember those losses. I think those losses from 2018 are still very real and palatable for the 49ers locker room. But now in 2019, this is their first loss, and we will see how they respond to it against the Cardinals in Week 11.
And we will be back here at Levi's Stadium Week 11, the San Francisco 49ers against Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals. And Laura, I will see you here.
I'll see you here.
You've been listening to the 49ers Insider Podcast. If you haven't already, please visit Apple Podcasts or Google Play to subscribe. And please give us a rating and a review. You can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at NBCS Authentic. We'll be back next week with another great edition of the 49ers Insider Podcast. Thank you for listening.
The 49ers Insider Podcast on NBCSportsBayArea.com.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.